Welcome to the Public Health is Essential podcast by the Washington State Public Health Association. My name is Megan Moore.
And I'm Gloria Rogers.
Are you ready, Gloria? Are you ready for me to say it? We have officially made it to the end of session. Yay! It's officially done. Everyone has gone home. The books are closed. We made it.
Yay, we made it. We made it through the longest session ever on record.
I know. 105 days that were actually, 600 wow. days. Thanks to our listeners who actually hung in there for this wild ride. I am so happy that it's all over. But also, these last couple days, I felt like there's a void in my life, for sure.
It's time to rest and recharge.
Yes.
But first, let's catch everyone up to date about the drama that happened since our last episode.
You guys, honestly, this was a drama-packed week. I hope you were watching on TVW. So much got done in the last week of session. Legislators had late nights all week, almost every single day, passing revenue bills off the floor. They stayed up like every evening doing debate on the floor. I bet they're so happy to come home after this last week. One revenue bill that the Public Health Association was following closely was Senate Bill 5814, which concerned certain excise taxes. I know we updated our listeners last week about this. This bill had so many things in it, including excise taxes on advertisement and technology, but also had a few tobacco provisions that we were supporting. I think the last time we checked in on this, there was a cigarette tax added to the bill, as well as a synthetic nicotine tax. And the cigarette tax was stripped out of committee, right? So that was an important public health policy that we were supporting. We were all super bummed about it. And then last minute, once it got to the floor, they decided not to accept the policy committee's striker. So the policy committee essentially passed a new version of the bill called the striker, and it deleted the cigarette tax. But they were like, we're not accepting the policy striker. We're not going to accept it. So it's still alive. It's still alive. The tobacco industry flew in so many lobbyists to kill these provisions. There were at least 15 lobbyists out there talking to legislators. And we were outmanned, for sure. We were outmanned. And eventually, the cigarette tax did get struck from the bill. The synthetic nicotine tax made it, and we're happy for that, grateful for that. The advocacy continues on that, actually. I'm just going to say this here. If our listeners want to do like an extra thing, please contact the governor's office and tell them we want the governor to sign that synthetic nicotine tax, because apparently the lobbyists have not stopped. The tobacco lobbyists, I know, they're lobbying the governor now to veto it from the bill. So please send your thoughts in email on your personal time to the governor's office and say, we want this, we support this.
It sounds like it's not safe until the governor signs it.
It's not. None of it. None of it is safe.
And what was the reasoning for removing the cigarette tax in this budget climate?
Well, the reasoning was, I think, twofold. First, cigarette taxes are definitely a regressive tax. And the legislature was very intentionally trying to flip our tax code. So Washington State is the second most regressive tax state in the nation, and only recently moved up to second after we passed the capital gains tax a few years ago. We were first for the longest time. Regressive tax means that the lowest income citizens pay the highest share of our state's taxes. And so what they wanted to do this session, they wanted to make sure that the taxes were on the wealthiest of individuals, like the most wealthy. Somebody said on the floor, like, one of these bills only impacts people who could have spent a dollar a second their entire life, they still couldn't spend everything they have.
Wow.
Then those are the type of people we're talking about here. The cigarette tax is regressive. It's hitting, especially the people that still smoke. They're the ones who are the lowest income. They have the highest comorbidities, opioid problems, mental health problems. And they're the ones that we want the funding to help quit, right? But didn't really have something to combat that argument. The second reason I think they gave this up is they said it hadn't been stakeholdered enough, which means that the proper partners were just not consulted in where the money should, when where a portion of this money should go. So a portion of the money was going to tobacco prevention, and I think they wanted it to go to other programs. And so they hadn't done the partner work on it. So that was, I think, the main reasons. I don't know. Anyways, I'm off. I'm done with it. I'm done with it right now.
That regressive tax comment does make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So after this happened, this was Wednesday night, Tuesday night. Anyways, they continued to work on the revenue bills. And finally, the budgets came out Saturday morning. So thank goodness I decided not to go camping and be out of service because I was reading the budget all weekend. Legislators had at least 24 hours to go through the budget before they had to vote on it the following day on Sunday. So both the House and the Senate voted on the operating budgets, the capital budgets, and the transportation budget off of the floor. Lots of conversation on those. It sounds like the operating budget was very politically divided, but actually the transportation and capital budgets were bipartisan efforts. So anyways, lots of conversation on those. And then we made it to Sunday. Sunday was the last day of session, sine die. Pretty much they were almost all settled. They had just the budgets to sign, like I said, and they had some lingering bills that were lingering from the conference committees. So remember, conference committee is when there were changes to the bills. They had to, once it was passed by both floors, they had to come together and agree on those changes or not. And the place where they didn't agree was this rent stabilization bill, 1217. They didn't agree on the changes. And this was the final effort of session. So on Sunday, all of the discussion besides the budgets was, how do we fix this housing crisis? How do we fix the fact that housing is too expensive for people? We've been following this one all session. And it was a partisan vote for sure. But then there were also a number of other bills that had to do with housing supply that also got passed on that day. So it was like a housing budget day.
Do you think it was a political strategy to hold the discussion for these bills at the last minute?
Maybe. Yeah, it could have been. I think that especially the rent stabilization bill had so much opposition. And I think it's because there was a conversation about whether capping the amount that a rental contract can go up from year to year, whether that makes it desirable or not for builders to come into the state and build. And if it causes problems with rental agencies and builders coming into the state, that's a problem. We need more and more homes in Washington state. That's one of our problems, is we have very low supply. But those kinds of bills, they take a very long time, right? We got to build. So we had to fix something immediately for our residents. And this rent stabilization piece fixes at least gives them some certainty that from year to year, it won't increase. So that was the debate. I don't know if it was a strategy to hold it to the last minute, except on the Democrat side, actually, it could have been a strategy to be like, look, this whole day, housing, like the theme of this session is housing, the themes, housing, schools, fully funded schools, and fix the budget hole. Those were the big themes. And so maybe they wanted to end on a good note. Like we passed it. Look at all these housing things that we passed.
In last week's episode, you mentioned that any bills that are passed this week, right? The governor has 20 days to sign, right?
Yes.
That includes the budget?
Yes. So if a bill lands on the governor's desk, it's not after it passes. If a bill lands on the governor's desk after sine die, he has 20 days to sign it.
Okay. And what if he vetoes a certain part of the budget and we need to come back for a special session? How does the public find out this news?
That's a really great question. I would say that it's pretty public, but that's because I follow channels that are probably leaning that way, right? If you follow the Washington State Democrats or Republicans and get their newsletters, you're going to hear about it. If you follow your legislators' newsletters, you're probably going to hear about it. Which I recommend you be on those listservs anyways. It's also going to be on the news. Like, I think that if we have to go to a special session, it will probably be on the news too. So I would, though, for our listeners, just follow, like, join those listservs and you will probably get first notice.
All right. And is there going to be some sort of celebration once those 20 days are over and we know for sure it's done?
I don't think so. Honestly, I think it's going to be a quiet celebration.
Okay.
We officially passed this. Yay! Because we did have the official end of session, and our listeners can't see that I'm like doing air quotes, the official end of session on Sunday. Sine die celebration.
Yes, I got to watch that for the very first time this year.
Yeah.
Thanks for the heads up, by the way.
Yeah, it's really fun to watch. They do side-by-side videos of the House and the Senate, and they try to do the gavel at the exact same time. And so you could see that the House was doing their thing and the Senate was doing their thing, and the Senate was on the phone with the House people on the phone, and they were like, okay, when are you going to do the gavel? When are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? And then they were like, let's end at the same time. And they were maybe 2 seconds behind or something, but it was great. Yeah, congratulations everyone on making it through the 2025 legislative session.
Yay. So what do we do next?
I would take a break and take some rest, and then have a plan for how you are going to start on those relationships in the interim. You saw that continued advocacy and continued good relationships with legislators is what helped continue the conversation on a lot of different policies. And so we need more and more good relationships. We need champions. And that's your task in the interim. And really until November, when we start to hear more about session, but in between now and then, invite your legislators to your work. Show them the work that you do. Go have coffee with them. They'll be home. And after May, they should be ready to have meetings with you. Pretty much everyone takes a break in May. So don't hit up anyone in May, including me. No, just kidding.
So what's next for the Public Health is Essential podcast?
That's a great question, Gloria. I'd love to know what our listeners want to see next. Maybe we'll be sending out a survey soon and talking to some of our listeners. So,
or subscribe to our newsletters.
Yes. Subscribe. Yes. Thank you.
Well, and what's next for WSPHA?
We were awarded a small pot of money from the legislature to coordinate opioid strategy work as kind of like a practice collaborative style. So we're going to be bringing together all the partners in the state, human services, public health, and schools, and all sorts of partners who have opioid abatement funds, just to talk strategy. So that's coming next. If that happens to be your sphere, then we want to talk to you. And the conference, our annual conference in Yakima, October 21st through the 23rd. And we are accepting proposals for that through June 12th. So we hope to hear from you.
Yes. And registration opens on the 30th.
Yes. Today.
Yes.
Today. Yay. How exciting.
Yes. All right. Well, it's time for us to go take a nap.
Are we done? Okay. Just trying to be off. All right. Well, it's been such a pleasure, everyone. Thank you so much for listening this legislative session. We are so grateful to you and, yeah, grateful to you, Gloria, too. Thank you for hanging in there.
Thank you for being a great teacher.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Public Health is Essential podcast by the Washington State Public Health Association. We will talk to you soon.